Hi there, Daniel here. Hope you're doing fantastic today. In this episode, I connect again with Michael Schwartz, sleep technician, certified sleep educator with more than 30 years of experience treating insomnia. And the reason I really want to connect with him without David, I left a comment that I think really resonated with something I heard Michael talk about in the past. I heard Michael talk about how, you know, kind of the brain works differently at night versus in the morning. And based on that, I really wanted his take on David's comments. So here you go. Enjoy.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing great. Hope you're doing well too.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, so as I kind of mentioned quickly before, I had this comment on a recent YouTube video, and I was like, this is so like similar to things that I've heard Mike talk about. So I definitely wanted to ask you this question. So I'm going to just read it, and then we can go from there. It's a comment on Insomnia Insight number 226, titled "How Not to Think About Insomnia and Sleep Better." So David wrote this one yesterday. Great tips, Daniel. It's something I've been thinking about through this journey. It's hard to ignore the physical and mental pressures one gets from consistently poor sleep. So you're reminded all day as to why you feel like crap. So I've at least tried to balance self-help versus not feeding the beast by limiting time I spend reading slash watching Insomnia Help to the morning hours. And this is where I thought that was really interesting, because he identified that doing this in the morning was less of a problem. So just spontaneously, thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's a really good observation that he made. You know, like one thing you've always said, which is really insightful, is that insomnia gets worse with effort. And when people hear the word effort, I think they feel like it's physical effort. Whereas with insomnia, I think it's as much the case as it's kind of like mental effort that you're putting into it. So anything that will keep the mind off of insomnia tends to help. And then at that point, natural sleepiness takes over, and then insomnia tends to abate. So with him focusing and just like doing some reading about insomnia in the morning and then not thinking about it at all afterwards really kind of plays into that, because it helps, I think, to, you know, it would help him to not make mental effort to sleep by doing that. And it's really challenging for people when they go on the internet to research sleep and insomnia. It's really a rabbit hole. I mean, you just go down and down and down, and then you're just making the whole thing worse. And so I don't think that's a good thing to do in the evening or, of course, in the middle of the night. By just kind of reading about sleep and kind of thinking about your plan for the day and kind of knowing what you should do and shouldn't do and get all that kind of out of the way in the morning, I think is a really great strategy.
100%. I felt the same way reading that. And now, one thing that I, you know, that I heard you talk about before, that we've talked about privately, was how, and that also came to my mind as I was reading this comment, was how you talked about how, like, we process things, the mind kind of works differently, the brain kind of works differently at night versus during the day, right?
It does, yes. Yeah, and yes. I'm not a neurophysiologist, so I can't get completely accurate on this. But basically what I've read and talked to other doctors about is that the organizing, logical thinking part of the brain tends to be more kind of frontal cortex part, which is a huge energy consumer. And so as someone gets drowsy, you know, kind of they've been awake for, say, you know, 18 hours, the mind kind of starts to go into energy conservation mode a little bit in that sense. And so it starts to kind of shut that part of the brain down. And other areas tend to become a little more prominent because of that lack of kind of like mental oversight by the front part of your brain. And that would maybe include things like your limbic system, which tends to be a center for kind of emotion and fear and all of this, and getting kind of anxious. So it's sort of a ripe environment for worry and rumination and concern, which then exacerbates all things insomnia. So by not giving your brain the chance, giving it, you know, without giving your brain that material in the evening, as you start to see the first signs of tired and fatigue and sleepiness kick in, I think that's helpful so that you can then do something else, maybe something more creative or more abstract or something like that, instead of hyper analytical. And that, of course, and I think I heard on one of your recent YouTube videos that you were talking about a type B personality versus type A personality. And I think it is the type A person that really can struggle with this, because it's not maybe a real natural thing for them to do in the evening, not to analyze things, since they tend to do that most of the time. And so I think that's a good strategy to just save the evening. And of course, any wakefulness in the middle of the night where you've left the bed, save that time for more abstract, possibly creative things, which I encourage the people I work with who are struggling with insomnia, you know, make it kind of enjoyable, something that you don't mind doing. That's a very, but it's more along those creative lines, not so much analytical, kind of deep, you know, really intensive, specific research on something per se.
This is fascinating, really, really interesting. And it, you know, what I was thinking, two things I was thinking about here was, again, me neither, not a neurologist or expert here, but sounds like David has like kind of figure out how to not engage his frontal cortex at night, but save that from the morning, and thus having better sleep, which is really super interesting. And then as you talked about that, you know, the type B personality, which was somebody asked me, like, have you ever seen somebody with type B personality? And I you know what, just the other day in the car, I was like, you know, I have to comment on that again, because I realized that when I see people with insomnia, they're in that phase of like, you know, stress, anxiety. So maybe they were, you know, a little bit, maybe they were type B, but something has made them a little bit more type A. So I just, you know, just kind of taking the opportunity to clarify here that I think it can happen to anyone, even a type B person, but, you know, type A is more at risk. But curious to hear your take on that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a good, it's good advice for anyone, no matter what personality type you might fall into. Just to reserve the kind of the more analytical type of thinking for the first half of the day and not get wound up in that in the evening, because like we're talking about kind of the brain function changes, it seems to make it an uphill battle. So it's kind of, you're almost like, you know, it's almost like a predisposition in itself is that's something that everyone experiences, that you know, that evening struggle we have to, you know, not be engaged on the phone, you know, with the, you know, just like news reports and then researching insomnia and all these things. It doesn't lend itself well to how the brain naturally functions in the evening and at night.
100%. That's awesome. Also, Mike, I think exactly what I was hoping for here. Like, I had a really interesting comment, and you brought a lot of value here. So thanks so much, Mike, and I hope you'll be back soon again.
Yeah, thanks for letting me share my thoughts. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Take care now.